welcome to the postgame show. Brett and Ida were nice enough to stick around and have a fun conversation. Now, I wanted to answer a question that someone apparently tweeted about the postgame yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you read the tweet, and it's been on my mind ever since because I don't want people to get the wrong idea. Okay, so every once in a while, I kind of open up about my family, which maybe I shouldn't do. And I talked about how growing up, you know, we were not in a good economic situation. I grew up kind of poor, and it wasn't until I was about 16 that things started to look up for my family. And my dad had invested in properties, and people were like, how are you poor if you have properties? Okay, you're poor because once you invest in it, it's not like you own it, right? And so my dad was really smart, and he realized, hey, if I buy an apartment building, I'll be able to live off that rent when I retire. And that's essentially what happened. So he came to America, worked as a handyman. He was trained as an electrician.
No way.
Yeah, electrician and engineer. Like, my dad's really freaking smart. But anyway, he came here and his university degree from Armenia didn't mean anything here, right? So he decided to work as a handyman. He was really good at it. And it was amazing because back in the day, you know, Los Angeles wasn't as overcrowded. Property prices were much lower. So he got in real early and he saved up for a down payment. But he had to pay so much money in like mortgages for this apartment building that he had. And then he also bought a home when I was two. And so he lost his job when my brother was born. That was when I was three, and that was a nightmare, and that was when things got really bad. And so you're just in a ton of debt. You know, it's not like you own that property. He ended up selling one because he couldn't afford it anymore, and then he paid off one of his buildings. Yeah. That's it. But he's not wealthy. He's like a middle class guy. Yeah. So
I don't know. Yeah, my dad used to tell stories about like when they lived out here. They lived in Detroit, and then they moved to Atlanta, and at that point, my grandma would tell me stories about how they had just signs on the doors of apartment complex saying "No blacks, no dogs, no Jews." It's just like all on one sign,
dude. Things
just kind of lumping it together. So
sometimes you don't see it because sometimes that change comes so slowly. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like I think about even when I see movies from the 1980s, there is so much content from back then that was so unacceptable. Like it would totally raise red flags now, you know, but.
Yeah, but no excuse. Get mad at me for being a child of privilege. Like, yes, that happened. Like my dad, you know, my grandfather, like to try to make money during war rationing, he was an electrician. So he made like a little machine that would strip wire.
Yeah.
And he'd send the kids out into the streets to go find the wire and then they'd feed it through the machine and strip it. And then they'd go sell that to, you know, do it. And then my dad played football well, went to UCLA and
nice.
And he said like interviewing for jobs after it was like it just kind of worked out. Very smart guy, but they'd go like, so do you know anything about computers? He said no. They're like, but you play football, right? He said yeah. So the story kind of is that they hired him to be on the company's football team. Yes. So
wow.
But that's still amazing. Like worked his ass off and all that stuff, and so it's a three generation move.
The fact that you guys have to justify your journey and your struggle.
No, I'm saying
that you people have to apologize for upward mobility makes me, you know,
but
because
I think it's like for me, I like sharing that. I'm like super proud of that story. No, and I know that I didn't I just kind of literally bullshitted my way through adult life. Like that's what I think this is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I respect the hell out of that journey.
I come from lack and struggle. And my stepfather was a refugee, a Mario boat lift refugee who came here on a boat, lived in an apartment with seven guys and struggled. And now he's a farmer. He's like one of the bigger distributors for the Southeast region of the country. He has these organic eggs, but he works so hard and he works nonstop. And if we have a bad winter, we have a bad winter. But he got us out of the hood. He was like, I want you guys out. He's my stepfather. He was like, I'm getting this girl out of here. And sometimes my friends are like, your dad has money. No, my dad has money to buy more chickens, to get more eggs. Yeah. He works his behind off.
Yeah. You know? I mean, my dad's good now. Don't get me wrong. My dad is, his investments certainly paid off, but it was freaking hard. Like I remember Oh, I'll never forget this. I was a kid, like, I don't even remember, like maybe 8 years old. But my mom and dad, it was the middle of the night, and they were just yelling at each other, like screaming. And I'm like, what's going on? What are they fighting about? And apparently something happened with the plumbing in one of the units. And so there was literally shit everywhere. And my mom had to go clean it with him. And she was like, she was just so fed up with it. Because in the beginning, you have to deal with all the negatives without any of the positives when you do that. And it's funny because my dad, sometimes I compare myself to him and I get really down on myself because he was able to do such amazing things. And sometimes I'm like, fuck, man, I'm 30 and I don't have half of what he had. You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't invested in shit and I feel bad about it. But he... I'm not willing to put myself through some of the stuff that he went through. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't get to enjoy his life. And I look at him now, and now that he's good financially, he's old. He's old. He can't really, he's not as mobile. And he talks about how he worked that hard so he can get to this point so he can travel and see the world. But now his health isn't that great. And I'm just like, I don't know, is that the American dream?
But I'll tell you as a parent that your dad, your parents did everything that they did so that you wouldn't have to.
Right. And that's the point of it. But there's like it makes me feel terrible.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
But not terrible enough to do shit.
That's like you good people though, that because some people don't give a shit and some kids are horrible and yeah. they take it for granted. The fact that you guys, you're proud of that story and that's what gives me hope with my own kids. But what I will say is when it comes to stories like when we talk about stuff like this, that there is all these issues like systemic racism and there's a whole bunch of things that go on that hold people back. Those of us who get out are the exception. And what I think it's very important when you remember stories like this is to throw the rope back and help somebody else get out because that's what it's really about. And to engage in respectability politics and blame people who come here from other countries or Jewish people for whatever happened to them, it's just not cool to say black people get it together, pull yourself up from the bootstraps. Some people don't have the bootstraps.
Yeah.
And those of us that have had the opportunity, just don't forget those that were left behind. Because those stories are just, that's what makes America
great. All of us who have experienced success in this country took advantage of some opportunity that America provided, right?
Yeah.
And so for you to take advantage of those opportunities and then turn your back on younger generations, I think that is the most unpatriotic thing you can
do.
Like, we talk about patriotism in the context of starting war, right? Yeah. And supporting it. That's not patriotism. Patriotism is helping your fellow American and helping them succeed in life, right? I don't feel better about myself if I'm successful and then other people have a harder time, you know, following their dreams and doing what they want to do, it makes me feel worse.
Right.
Like, I want progress in the country.
The potential, go for it.
No, you go.
I was just thinking, like, there's kinds of solutions you can throw in there.
Yeah.
Like, what it is I remember growing up and, you know, I think my dad died before I could really, like, communicate, like, how he did all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that book Rich Dad Poor Dad, which everyone talks about, and I think the lessons of that are like there are people who kind of know how the world works financially, or at least find it out somehow and then communicate it to future generations. Yeah. It's a playbook that you pass down through generations that other people just, you know, other folks who have never, you know, the poor dad people just don't have, never seen that playbook.
Right.
And the thing is, like, why don't our school systems have that
in it? Oh my God,
We teach everyone, like, I took so many stupid ass classes that, you know, that much of teaching me how to think about, you know, abstraction and whatnot was really useful. But I would really have liked some kind of financial literacy class along the way.
Because economics classes in high school are more government classes.
You're right, as opposed
to personal. But, you know, and I think that book is a great book. And I think that all kids should have to read the book. But absolutely, financial literacy. But I don't think it's an accident. I think it's intentional. And when you talk about immigrants, people coming here and taking advantage or seeking refuge here for a better life, that shit started back in 1492. Don't make that a new thing that people that look like us are the only ones who took advantage. Most people that came to America came here for opportunity. All people that came here for opportunity. Don't try to just make that, you know, a black or a,
like a
brown
thing.
Yeah, it's not a recent thing. They've been migrating here for religious reasons. And I think this is a great conversation because I think that when we talk about people of color and we start talking about Black Lives Matter and how you make things happen, we get so caught up and say, hey, invest your money in black banks and invest your money. You have to know what the black banks are doing with the money, because if they're not investing in black communities and giving loans to black contractors and giving jobs to black people, then why are you investing money in those black banks? They're doing the same thing that Wells Fargo and Bank of America are doing.
Yeah, I do think that, like, there are certain pockets of people who help each other.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this documentary called Godfather 2, where these Italians helped each other. But then again, there's, like my friend who's, you know, there's, like, groups of Cubans who work together, groups of Persians who work together. And I feel like, you know, why can't we all just do it together?
I agree with you.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
But I get it. I get, like, you show up in the, you know, and everyone, the people with similar situations end up, like, living physically close to each other and then build on whatever they can have access to.
Oh, my God, I'm so happy Armenians decided to settle in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm so happy. I'm not, personally, oh, God, I think it's my friend's black BMW, but it's not. It's someone else's. It's another Armenian person's.
Armenians love BMWs. I will say that.
I spend my new year with an Armenian family that's close to my family that we've been, and we hang out for like 2 weeks.
All the same party.
It's fun,
It's interesting because when Christian and I first started getting serious and he met my family and he went to a few family functions, he's like, you guys are just like us. Like, there are a lot of similarities. Oh, yeah. And there are. There really are a lot of similarities. Even like the different, like, stereotypical things are similar. Yeah. Like the show-offy guys with like their show-offy cars and whatever. Like,
loud talking.
Yeah, loud talking. Like the machismo thing. I mean, Armenians absolutely have their own version of machismo.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really interesting to see like how similar the cultures are, even though we're from two completely different parts of the world.
Turns out everyone's people.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. We have so much more in common than we don't, and we focus on the things that we don't have.
The differences,
in common.
Yeah. This was a lovely post game.
No, hated it.
I really liked it.
So I feel vulnerable. I do feel like I just.
I like when you're vulnerable, though. I like
it.
Lately, I don't know. I feel like I've been a little more careful, and maybe I should be even more careful about like just disclosing stuff about family, because I don't know who's watching. So I know that our members are awesome. The vast majority of you are awesome, but
some people watch the hate.
Yeah, there's some hate members, which is awesome because you're supporting our show by paying to be a member. But whatever, I mean, I'll take it. Anyway, love you guys. Thank you for watching. Thank you to Ida and Brett. Make sure you check out their work, and we'll see you guys soon.